from the dead. When I was a little kid, one of the things I didn't like to do, well, one of the things that happened to me as a little kid is that someone would die in the meeting or someone in the family would die, and our parents would drag us to the funeral home. You know, they have these viewing things. And I never, never, ever, ever, ever liked going at night. But they would take us. We'd go at night. And the reason why I didn't like it was I'd go to bed that night and all I would see is dead corpse. And you know, and back then when I was a little kid, the mortuary science wasn't as sophisticated as they are today. Nowadays, you know, you look at, oh, he looks just like himself. Back then, it wasn't so good. And you'd have this image impressed in my brain, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night. But I bring that up because, you know what? A sleeping person doesn't look very much different than a dead person. And I remember as a little kid, you know, I would hesitate to go into my parents' bedroom because all I would think of is, man, they look dead. And that's what happens when mediocrity and complacency settles into my heart and to my soul. I don't look any different than a dead man in the world. And the challenge is, arise! He says, arise, awake from among dead ones. Live out your distinction. And then he says, walk. And there four, three times he says, walk. He says, first of all, walk worthy of your vocation. Walk worthy of the fact that we have been made sons, heirs. Walk in that dignity. Walk worthy of your vocation. And then he says, that's in Ephesians 4, verse 1. And then in Colossians 1, verse 10, he says, walk worthy of the Lord. Brother Brian mentioned earlier today about lordship and headship. We're called to walk worthy of the Lord. The Lord has called us to this wonderful place, and the Lord is the one who is in charge. He's the one who is sovereign. He says, you know what? I want you to walk with me. I want you to walk in all the grand and greatness of who I am as your Lord. And then it says, walk worthy of God in 1 Thessalonians. And so Abram was told to walk the breadth and the length. In Ephesians, it tells us that you might know what is the height, the depth, the breadth, the length, and to know the love of God. You know, that's where we need to walk. John, in his epistle, says, keep yourselves in the love of God. John would also delight and say concerning his children, oh, I rejoice, I delight in the fact that my children are walking in truth. You see, the truth that we have, the truth that has been given to us, tells us of God's wondrous grace and His love and His goodness and His kindness and His mercy and His blessings. And He says, I want you to walk in that truth. I want you to enjoy that truth. I want you to go there, and as you enjoy and as you begin to explore those truths, I want you to know what's in my heart. And I want you to have that communion with me. I want you to build that altar that responds in worship and adoration and praise and thanksgiving for all that He has done. Abram was commanded to lift up his eyes, to arise and walk. It says that when we traffic in the truth, when we walk in the truth that has been given to us, in the good of all the promises that were given to us, we learn what is important to God and care, such as that we live as strangers and pilgrims in pursuit of a divine agenda. Our lives are to be an expression of worship in everything we do. We often try to compartmentalize and try to make worship and a thanksgiving and praise something we do on Sunday. No, I think what God is looking at here when he calls Abram and he says, here, dwell in Mamre, and here's all that I'm going to provide for you. It becomes an expression of his worship. And everything that we ought to do ought to be an expression of worship. Eric Little, you know the story, may not. Eric Little, Christian Olympian, who in honor to the Lord says, I'm not going to run on his day. I'm not going to run on the Lord's day. His event, the 100 meters I think it was on the Lord's day. And he told the coach, he told the Olympic committee, I do not run on the Lord's day. It's his day. And the coaches accommodated him. And then he says, well, if you don't run on this day, then you're going to have to run tomorrow and you'll have to run the 200 meter, an event that you don't train for. He says, I'll do it. I'm going to honor my Lord and I'm not going to run on his day. And Eric Little ran the 200 meter. He never trained for it. And he ran in a style that anybody who understands the dynamics and the mechanics of running, he ran completely opposite of that. And he ran in absolute total liberty. His hands flailing, his head up to the sky. And when he was asked afterwards, what were you doing? He says, you know what? God gave me the ability. And when I exercise that ability, it's my act of worship to him. Everything that we do ought to be an act of worship to our God in light of all that he has done. Final lesson. As we see where God has placed us, when we look at and walk in the good of his great and precious promises, Peter tells us, unto us are given the greatest and most precious promises, that we might be partakers of divine nature, that we might enter into this communion of the knowledge of all that God is and all that he is bringing us into. He says he has given us these great and precious promises that we might be partakers of divine nature. So when we see where God has placed us, when we look and walk in the good of his great and precious promises and learn of his heart, because out of his abundant love and grace, he shed all of that abroad for us. Then all of our life can be wholly marked by communion and worship. Every action, every thought brought in alignment with his, enjoying communion. Jesus put it this way, if you keep his words, keep his words. Hear his promises, take them to heart, believe them, trust them. He says, if we keep his words, the Father and I will come and abide with you. That's the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is that we have the blessed opportunity to be in communion with divine persons. We have the blessed opportunity to have our lives be a total expression of worship as we respond to his commandments and in obedience and enjoy his great and precious promises. May the Lord encourage you as he encourages me, that we really take God's word for what it is, in truth, his word, believe his promises, enter into this wonderful communion, that our lives might be an expression of worship in all that we do. Let's pray.